Thanks, Philip.
You did good, buddy.
Yeah, I think you did good. Hey, buddy. Good morning. You guys excited? It's Sunday. We're here. We're with family. We get to do those things I talk about every single week. What are they? Worship and fellowship. Good. Bonus points for Bonnie and for Julia. You guys win the game today. No game, no prizes. It's just, it is what it is. We should be here. We should be doing those things. And if not today, when? Why not? I mean, certainly God has redeemed us. He has given us grace. He has given us love. He has given mercy. And for that, we should always be eternally grateful. Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we are so in awe of Your glory, and that we know as humans we are full of sin and strife and all those negative things that just drag us down, Lord. But we know with You that all things are possible. We know that with You we can have new life. And we know that with You we continue to walk and grow in our faith. And as we explore Your word today, we ask You to open our hearts and minds to the message. Please, as we continue our worship, in Your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. Continuing through the Gospel of Matthew, as we look at the words of the master teacher. Now, I got to read in this section that Philip just read, and I had an interesting thought about the things that have scared me. I mean, I don't like scary movies. Does anybody like scary movies? Do you want to know why I don't like scary movies? They give me nightmares. Not because I'm afraid of the scary movies themselves, just because I can't control what's in my dreams, and I don't like seeing that kind of stuff, so I just avoid it altogether. But there have been times in my life that I have put in situations that have truly terrified me to the point where I was ready to either attack the person in front of me, cry out in fear, or break down completely. And those, I want to share with you very briefly three of those experiences. One of them you kind of know about. I told you about the time Philip walked out of the house when he was this young and decided to do an adventure through the apartment building we were living in. You know, when I was taking a shower and he's like, hey, I think I'll go explore the elevator. I never wanted to beat Philip so much in my life than when he was 3-4 years old. Oh, but it terrified me, and I was so afraid that until I found him, I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I guess that's what your little kids, that's probably your biggest concern with your little kids, and maybe even your bigger ones, as they start to gain more and more freedoms. But another time, Rachel and I were walking in Beijing, and we saw this video store, and we thought, hey, we should go see if they have any English movies. And this guy that we were talking to, he's like, yes, I have English movies, follow me. And he leads us over to this wall. Okay? And he moves a display to reveal a hidden door and leads us back into the most shady room I have ever seen in my entire life. I mean, I felt like this room was the size of our closet at home. And he's like, take your pick. And he's got like this kind of weird grin on his face. And I'm standing between him and Rachel. And I'm mentally telling Rachel that, okay, well, if I have to, I'm going to tackle this guy. And you run and go get for help. I don't care. We're in the middle of another country. You're going to find someone to save me. Fortunately, that worked out. The third time was when I was in Iraq. I mean, it's just Iraq. Iraq was a scary place. I didn't like it. Especially having to drive through downtown Fallujah, strapped to 5,000 gallons of gasoline. It just was a scary time and place. But I made it through all those situations, and maybe I'll have more of these events in my life. And I know as I say these things, you guys are probably thinking of some of the things that have scared you in your life. Now, why do I bring all of this up? I got a good point to this, I promise you. As a minister, more specifically, as a preacher, I have a really cool job. I get to tell you how awesome Jesus is. More specifically, I get to tell you how awesome God is. I get to go and say, hey, look at how great He is. Thousands of words across two, three centuries of God working in the world. And I can sum up the Bible in one verse. He loves you so much that everything he did was building up to the point of him redeeming you by his blood. By him sending a part of himself to save your soul. I love that as a preacher. I love that I get to tell you, hey, God cares about you. If he takes care of the grass in the field, how much more important are you than those things? And as such, because he takes care of you, you don't have to worry about a thing. Your needs will be provided. And then I get to say, his grace is sufficient. But last week, Aiden, I'm going to pick on you a little bit, Aiden, decided to be baptized. And I want to tell every single one of those things to Aiden that I want to tell to all of you. But Jesus also said this. He said, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them in the Gentiles." Now, he starts with this just talking to his disciples or apostles. He actually says apostles at this point, but he's talking to his disciples. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you out two by two. You're going to go into the world. And then the narrative shifts to now where he's no longer talking to his disciples, but he's now talking to everyone who would read these words. And he says, beware of men. They will deliver you to the courts and you will be beaten. You will be flogged. You will be persecuted and you will be killed. That's not a message I like to say. And truthfully, you know why I don't like to say that? It's because I'm a little afraid on your behalf. I certainly know that this is a possibility. But I don't want to tell you this because I don't want you to say, okay, well, maybe that Christian thing isn't for me. Fear is a strong motivator in our lives. Fear keeps us safe. The reason we don't do stupid things in our lives, the reason we don't say YOLO, you're only going to live once, is because fear protects us. Fear is a natural and biological condition that we all experience. It's important that we experience fear because fear keeps us safe. But as Christians, we're going to have to do these things. We're going to have to be confronted by the fear in our lives because the world hates Jesus. Jesus tells people three things. He says, you are a sinner. You are going to die in that sin. If you do not repent of that sin, you are going to die in that sin. And if you do repent of that sin, you will get to experience new life. Respond to that repentance. Come over to God's side. What's the response to that? Walk away? Accept it? Or hate that someone has told you how awful of a person you are? So that's the thing that Christians have to be confronted with at some point in your life. Is you cannot become a Christian unless you understand how much of a bad person you are because of sin. Does anybody like being told they're a bad person? Well, I guess unless you like being a bad person. No. But Christ says, understand this. And these people fought him on it tooth and nail. Instead of submitting to his will, they persecuted him. And as a result, they're going to persecute his followers. A servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Is it true? Absolutely. If they had called the master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? We're not worthy of Jesus. And if they were willing to do this to God, they'll certainly be willing to deal with us. Because they're not, apparently, they don't have the right kind of fear. They're not afraid to do this to God. Someone needs to teach them that kind of fear. But they're not afraid to do it to him. They're certainly not afraid to do it with us. And here are the facts. 1 in 7 Christians are persecuted every single day. 13 to 16 Christians are killed every single day. 400 a month, roughly almost 5,000. In fact, I'm going to say 5,000 a year, at least 5,000 a year, because this number that was reported in 2021, those were only the reported numbers of people who were killed for following Christ. And yet, sure, you can blame things like violent Islamization, and certainly that's true, or gangs and drugs. That happens a lot in South America. But, you know, in America, in the United States, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to us? Someone's not going to like us? What? Not China air balloons. China air balloons, yes. China air balloons. Maybe that will be the worst thing that ever happens to us. You could lose your job. You'll recover, right? You'll find a new one. But certainly, all these things could happen to you. The first century understood this. Every single apostle was killed for their faith. James with the sword. Peter crucified upside down, by the way. Andrew also crucified. John exiled and then killed. Paul beheaded. Thomas stabbed. Stephen stoned. And I love the story of Stephen because there's another part to the story of Stephen. It says, not only are these terrible things going to happen to you as believers in Christ, these people are going to be happy to do them. They're going to see it as their right. What did Saul do to Stephen? Saul held the coats. He sought the paperwork. He went into the towns. He was a leader among the leaders, and what he was willing to do, what others would not. And he was ecstatic. Because I got to tell you, you can't have that level of enthusiasm unless you are happy about doing it. And sure, they might try to rationalize their behavior. They might say, they deserve it. Or, I'm on the right side. Or, I love this one, they made me do it. Nobody can make you do anything. Only you. But they went and they did and they took glee. And John says, they put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God or their God. They're happy about it. And what's God's response to all of this? What's God's response to death, destruction, rape, looting, killing, every negative thing that you can imagine that is going to happen to a Christian? It says go. It says go to these places. Go to Africa. Go to where this killing has happened. Go to South America where the drug lords and the gangs are. Go to America where you might lose your job. Go to Southeast Asia where you'll be made a slave. Go to these places and make them disciples. Because the only way this is going to stop is when God comes or everyone is saved. And wouldn't both of those be an awesome thing? Either one. But it is the only way they're going to stop. And so when you read what Philip read, Jesus says, look at all the things that are going to happen for my name's sake. Public leaders are going to persecute you. You're going to be flogged, turned against your family. Your family, the ones that you trust the most. And they're all going to do it just because you love Jesus. You preach Jesus. You tell them, there is a better way to life. But have no fear. Look at 26. So, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will be revealed, nor hidden that will not be made known. There's two translational words that happen here, which speaks volumes about the text. Fear is a natural response to persecution. But Christ is telling you, even if you haven't really experienced persecution, it happens. And as such, you should expect it and be prepared for it when it does happen. And if you are, you will have no reason to fear. You will have courage and be able to stand when the trials come and take joy in them. Because what's the worst that could happen? The worst that can happen is you can die. Are you going to die? Every single one of you are going to die. The worst thing they can do is do to you what is already going to happen over the natural course of your life. And while, yes, I will admit that is an absolute scary thing to think about, especially as I am now about halfway through my life, and I know some of you are probably, you're a little bit older, like, you'll get over it. You can have no fear, because if you stay faithful in Him, if you have courage, He will be faithful. Do not fear the one that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the body for soul and your soul. God knows who you are. He knows your value. He knows every single hair on your head. And if He takes care of the lilies of the field or the sparrows that are worth, they say a penny. I don't think a sparrow is probably worth a penny today. But takes care of these insignificant things. How much more is He going to take care of you? And so He certainly knows your suffering. He certainly is interested in what is happening to you. But He does not want you to be afraid. He does not want you to shy away from these things. Because it is not about you. It is about His message being shared to the world. Can you be brave when the time comes? Or better yet, can you stand together with your brothers and sisters in Christ? See, the easy part about my job, the easiest part about my job is I can sit here and tell you all this stuff. Look, I got a book. This book basically tells me everything I just told you today. You can read that book and I would say you've got it figured out. But that's all I can do for you. I can tell you about it. I can study with you. I can pray with you. I can teach you. Maybe I can stand up next to you or in between you like I protected my wife from the scary video store owner. But I cannot make you do anything. I cannot make you study. I cannot make you pray, believe, or give you courage. You have to find that on your own. Looking back on the promises of God, these wonderful things that we see that I talked about at the beginning of our lesson, the does not perish but will have everlasting life. He cares for you. His grace is sufficient. It's a wonderful message. But it only happens for those who have accepted every single thing of what He is and are willing to go to the point of giving up their life for His namesake. The best of the Bible comes with the worst of humanity. If we weren't who we are, God certainly wouldn't be with who He is. And we have an obligation to share that message for the world, because even when we look at ourselves and say, I'm not that bad, God loves me as much as He loves the worst of us. And He expects me to go and be as sheep being led to the slaughter. He expects us to go and stand and have courage in the face of persecution. He expects us to live for Him. There's so much we can do to help each other when the time comes. But ultimately, we must rely on God. Can you rely on God? Can you have courage when the time comes? I hope so. But if not, we have each other. We could stand with His grace and say, we are strong because of you. If you guys like responding to this message anyway, feel free to come forward as John leads us in song.